KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect.
Welcome to ABQ Connect. Jim Williams with you. I'm joined in studio by Chance and Katie Butts. They are with LifeQuest USA, both with different roles. Executive director is Chance. He's been running that for a number of, about a year and a half?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And you were visiting here with your former president, John Jones.
Yes, sir.
I know John's still on the board.
He is. Yes, sir.
Katie, how did you get drunk into this?
Well, I'm married to him.
Yeah, married to him. And you're on the board?
I am, yes.
Yeah, so. Well, we're going to find out more about your roles and that kind of thing. LifeQuest USA has made a reputation for really reaching out to kids that are incarcerated. But that mission has changed a little bit. Now there's not a lot of kids that are incarcerated, so you're really trying, I think, to meet kids before they get in trouble, those kind of things?
That's 100% true. The foundation of LifeQuest, the lessons learned, it will always be that group of individuals, the incarcerated youth. I mean, and the lessons we learn in there are the lessons we use to help kids before they make that decision.
Yeah. So tell me about your roles. What do you do as the executive director, Chance?
I get yelled at a lot, honestly. As an executive
by your board of directors?
100%. Yeah, it's my wife. My wife, she's also the boss. And so, you know, with her being on the board. Vision and thinking about, you know, what are we going to do in the future, and how do you know? What are some new and exciting ways that we can share the love of God in a way that the youth can hear it?
Mm, I love that. And Katie, as a board member, you're kind of trying to support and give new ideas. How does your whole board participate?
So we participate by supporting and offering more vision, or trying to help navigate and guide the vision as to what the best route will be for LifeQuest.
Let me read the mission statement. Mentoring a future and a hope, providing critical support services to help New Mexico youth overcome their past challenges and build resilience for the future. The goal is to build relationships between the community and the youth that go well beyond the schools and detention centers.
Mm-hmm.
You work with 6 detention centers, I understand from your website?
It's 9 now.
Oh, it's 9.
Mm-hmm.
So how many are there in New Mexico?
9.
There's 9. Well, good that you're working with all of them.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. So 3 county facilities, 2 reintegrations. We have the YDDC, John Paul Taylor. Yes, I mean, we're all over the place.
We're going to talk about the 413 journey in just a second.
Yes, sir.
But before we do that, I want you to kind of explain to people how you get to know kids. I think that there's people listening that might say, I'd be interested in volunteering. I'd be interested in being a mentor. So let's point people in the direction of your website first, which is lifequestusa.org.
Correct.
Lifequestusa.org. Should I give the phone number?
Sure. Yes, sir.
Okay, 505-341-9383. And you can use, obviously, there's fundraising opportunities,
yes,
people
sir.
That can help you financially. But you need people that maybe are called to be in the ministry with you. Because if you're doing 9 facilities, this is something that the Butts family cannot do by themselves.
No, not at all. And we have some amazing volunteers. We have some partnerships like, you know, the Bus of Hope with Eli and Stephanie Grotto. We have Impact Nations with Tim Stewart. Like these wonderful people who just help us in what we do. Whitestone Community Church. I mean, these individuals, these group of individuals, these families, they love the youth in New Mexico, regardless of where they're at. And they just want to share the love of Christ with them. That's everything we do, from a sandwich to a basketball tournament. Everything we do is just a vehicle to get to that true interaction with Christ.
Tell us about the 413 journey.
So the 413 journey is the community outreach program that we do to try to reach the kids before they make some not such good choices, or even some of the kids that have made choices that are not so good. But it's 12 weeks and 12 character traits. And then we do every other week is a different adventure. So it's an adventure-based program. And each week we meet, we fellowship and have meals with them. And whoever's teaching that week teaches on that different character trait.
Typically, how many kids in a group?
12 to 15.
12 to 15. Mm-hmm. And they're meeting every week, mm-hmm. and this goes on for 3 months. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
And it's an adventure thing. Mm-hmm. So the reason I'm restating that is because there's people that mm-hmm. I kind of want them to get a perspective on what would a volunteer do to help you?
So a volunteer, if they wanted to come on board, you know, obviously go through the training, but what we'd want them to do is to build a positive mentoring relationship with the youth. Maybe a youth who doesn't have a father or doesn't have a mother, but a way for us to really interject this positive faith into their life in a way that, again, a way that they can hear it. And someone who's going to not go away, someone who's going to be committed to this, that the what we don't want to do is have someone who leaves like so many others in their life.
I have a sense, though, that there's somebody that might have in mind, yeah, I could give you a year. Mm-hmm. But they'll develop relationships 100%. With kids, won't they?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, they're going nowhere after they develop those relationships.
Well, I was going to say, John Jones, I mean, volunteers, they're still mentoring kids decades later. These youth are now mothers and fathers still coming back and saying, you know, you're my friend, you're my mentor. Mm-hmm. They met at LifeQuest, but the goal is a lifelong partnership.
Mm-hmm. Chance, give us some of your background, your former United States military.
Yes, sir. I retired from the Marine Corps April last year. And you know, and what's funny is I am one of these kids. I was locked up at 12 and I didn't have a greatest story growing up. I am one of these kids. And so it's kind of amazing for God to move me through these places and then bring me right back to the youth that are just like me.
What's a reaction that you get from a young person, boy or girl, man or woman, when you tell them that you were in trouble at one time? Does that open them up to you?
First, they don't believe me. Mm. And then they see my wife, who's a lot better looking than me, and then they really don't believe me. but the truth is that when I tell them these things, you can almost see like a perspective shift of like, there is more than what I know.
Yeah. So, Katie, where was Chance in this process when you guys got together?
So, I met him the year he got out of juvie.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, a long time ago.
Yeah, when we were 15. Long time ago.
Did you just like the bad boy image or what?
I didn't know at the time. He didn't tell me that.
Oh.
But no, we met in the youth group in Georgia and we were 15 and we just became best friends and here we are.
So when I left, I was in North Carolina. When I left at 15, I moved in with my grandparents in Georgia. And one of the first things they did was take me to football practice. And I didn't even know how to get in a 3-point stance, but they took me there. And then they took me to the youth group and dropped me off. And sitting in the front row was Katie.
Mm. So that was your first ministry, Katie.
Yeah, no joke.
I love that. I think that people are listening now and they're identifying, okay, here's a couple that's working together in ministry. Maybe that's something my wife and I could do, you know, to assist, to mentor. Because there's as many juvenile women as there are men now that are kind of in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you really have seen life change with a number of these kids.
Yeah.
So that we just had our first, and it's amazing, young man who was in the facility and was mentored by a volunteer from LifeQuest, left the facility, joined our community-based program, and just graduated Friday. So our first person, you know, first crossover, and he's continuing in our 4:14 journey, which is every Tuesday, and we just figure out how to do this thing called life, but while keeping Christ at the center.
I love it. Are you still culminating the 12 weeks with a trip to the Grand Canyon?
Mm-hmm. We just got
back about a month ago.
Where your board member, Chris Youngblood, which I don't care if he's listening, is a maniac hiker and biker.
He
and
sure is.
I always used to tease John Jones because And John knew it was coming tongue-in-cheek because I couldn't keep up with Chris either. But I said, John, if it's a prerequisite to volunteer to keep up with Chris, that's a pretty high bar.
No, yes. Yeah.
You guys he's could do it, awesome. I bet.
Nope.
But Chris is doing it, and he's been on the show where he's mm-hmm. talking about the same thing you were. He was a person that didn't have great parenting and came to faith in Christ. And we probably should talk about that. How open is LifeQuest about having a relationship with Jesus?
I mean, that's our center. Like, we talk about Jesus all the time, I feel like. With each class, with each conversation, you know, it always goes back to Jesus. But I would like to say, we're talking about the kids that might not have a father, might not have a mother, but some of our kids have a wonderful family, but we still need to reach them and walk alongside the parents, because raising teenagers in this day and age is not easy. So if we can support the families too, you know, so like even if they have a mother and a father, it's very important that we can just kind of go in there, just walk alongside and support them too.
100%. One of the things we did was start a parenting group in conjunction with our 413. So not only do the kids are doing their, you know, the 413 journey, the parents are right there with them. And it's not trying to teach someone how to parent. Mm-mm. It's really helping them develop a community.
I actually think it's okay to teach people how to parent.
Well,
we need help.
I've got a 14-year-old son and every day's a new day. I've never done this before.
Yeah. No, that's an adventure.
It is.
Teenagers are something different. Yeah. I have 5 kids, all grown now, thank God. I worry today about social media and all of that, those influences that are coming in ways that it'd be pretty hard as a parent to keep them away from those things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's in their face. It's in their face every day. But one thing, like I like to say, is we want to go in and disrupt their thinking, just disrupt their life, right? Like Jesus did. He came and disrupted so many people's lives in a good way. It's not to be negative, but the way kids think these days sometimes, like we want to go and just change that and show them a different perspective and just disrupt everything in a good way. Does that make sense?
No, that does. Absolutely. I mean, because you're basically talking about interrupting the crazy culture that they're in.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's bizarre to think about, well, if you know the truth and then you see what's going on in the culture, mm-hmm. you just can't believe it.
No, they're so mm-hmm. counter to each other.
But if you're raised in the culture, you don't know.
That's right.
That's true.
Yeah, it's like the frog in the water. It's just, you know, before you know it, it's boiling. It's and even with our own kids, you know, I have a 14-year-old son, a 10-year-old daughter. Even with them, and we talk about Jesus all the time. It still creeps in. I mean, mm-hmm. it's everything you watch is. It's really hard to combat. But it's really easy. We just bring them back to the center, which is Jesus. We bring them back to his teachings and the way he calls us up. And it's not hard to, I mean, it's not easy sometimes to apply, but we do have that safe place that we could always come back to no matter how crazy things get.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Tell us how your ministry is funded.
So it's donor-based.
So you're not getting big checks from the federal government?
No, none at all. But we do have one state contract.
For the juvenile facility?
It's about 8% of our budget, but it gives us the keys a little bit. So we're able to go in and tutor and to mentor and to teach character development and Bible studies.
And you need volunteers to help you execute that?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. So you have 9 facilities in New Mexico. So this is... Right now, there's people listening in Las Cruces, in Alamogordo, in Portales, Clovis, mm-hmm. Obviously here, Santa Fe, south down to Socorro.
Yes, sir.
So we don't reach the entire state, but we hope that if you're listening, you might think about joining the ministry of LifeQuest USA. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, we actually just went, and it was amazing. Me and my wife went down to El Paso, and we met with the leadership of a school down there, Northeastern Christian Academy. They're very interested, so much so that the vice principal is going to come on board and help us manage Las Cruces. I mean, but we're looking at this becoming something in their school as an elective class that the kids can take just like it is here in Albuquerque. Mm-hmm. And so then LifeQuest USA becomes more of a reality. It's almost, I'm so excited. Yes.
I love it. Chance and Katie Butts are here. They work with LifeQuest USA. Their website is LifeQuestUSA, LifeQuestUSA.org. Their phone number is 505-341-9383. We'll have another segment with them till 1:30. I hope you'll stay with us on ABQ Connect. We will be right back. We are visiting with the team from LifeQuest USA, Chance Butts and his wife, Katie. Katie serves on their board of directors, and Chance is their executive director. We were talking during the break about juvenile crime, and you just started to tell me, Chance, some crazy statistics. 50%?
Yes, sir. 50%. And we just had a breakfast thing with the mayor, and 50% of all violent crime is done by juveniles, 18 or under, or 17 and under. That's a staggering thing. 50% is of all violent crime by kids.
Well, and there was a movement. I don't know what precipitated this, but there's not very many juveniles that are incarcerated.
Correct.
And you said earlier in the interview, that's not necessarily a good thing.
No. And so what's happening is that the metric for them to actually have a consequence that is meaningful has changed so much that unless there's like murder or something really violent, that they don't get locked up. They get probation and they sent back home and they're not even really held accountable. Amazingly, this is a really sad fact. Even kids that get released and they're in the reintegration home, there's a 90-day period. If they run away, as long as they don't get caught within that 90 days, no harm, no foul. And so that,
and these are laws. This is okay, Mr. and Mrs. Legislator, mm-hmm. in the state of New Mexico. These are things that the legislature needs to keep in mind.
Yeah, they're just kids.
But they don't have, you know, if a kid was to steal a candy bar and there's a consequence, they're less likely to steal another one. If they steal a candy bar and, you know, no one cares, or they say, oh, it's just a candy bar, then they'll steal again. Mm-hmm. And now it's a car. Now it's this. Now it's that. And it's never someone jumps from, you know, stealing a candy bar to violent crime.
But you've gone from minor crimes to violent. 100%. When you say violent, you're talking murder, battery.
Yes.
Felonies of rape. Oh, yes. That's just terrible.
It's amazing. And then when we talk to these young people, even in the facility, and we try to always see them as a person, not the thing that they've done. But we just saw a young man get 38 years at 18 years old. And I spent 2 years with this kid. 2 years in the facility and talking to him, and he wasn't the things that he did, at least not at that point. But when he was out, it was just a progression to, you know, from one thing to the next, and oh, no one cares, they're not going to do anything. And then you get deeper in this culture.
So I'm thinking that we might have just scared everybody that thought they were going to call and sure. sign up for training. But yeah. In the same breath, I want to say, look, you don't come and do ministry by yourself.
No.
You do this with the power of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
And if you feel the Holy Spirit now telling you to get involved in ministry, you're going to be equipped. But what kind of training do you give volunteers to help them? Because this is not always easy.
Yeah. No, it's not. Well, obviously, background checks.
Mm-hmm.
And then we do the
Priya.
Yeah, so, yeah. I don't know what it's called.
Well, we have a lot. We have a lot of you know, a gambit of mm-hmm. of training, and what we've learned is, it has to be more than just something to say. It has to be something to do. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, even scenario based training and really equipping all of our volunteers to understand this isn't an easy thing, but it is it's a wonderful thing if you can. Once you reach one of these kids.
Are there enough victories? Are there enough positive stories to balance the ones that don't make it?
Yes. And mm-hmm. oh, golly, you look at statistics again, right? I was reading an article, and this was a few years ago, but it said somewhere between 80 and 97 3% recidivism rate, meaning that some of these kids is a 3% chance at life. Now, when we look at the metrics of those who get involved with LifeQuest, it's about a 40 to 50% chance at life. And that, and it,
that's improving the odds considerably. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A young lady who's in Las Cruces, who's working on her master's degree right now, a young man and who lives in Mexico who called us because that someone broke the electrical panel, but he's a father and he's working. Like, again, we just had a crossover, a young lady who went into an EMT program straight out of the facility that we were able to mentor and to equip and to provide clothing for. And so these victims, oh, such an amazing thing to see.
So all the work you're doing is funded by private donations. Again, want to give people the website. It's lifequestusa.org. If you feel like supporting the ministry, if you want to be a volunteer, you can look at lifequestusa.org or you can call 505-341-9383. Let me ask you about a term that I've heard. I kind of get an idea what it is, but what is generational incarceration?
So for me, I can speak from experience on this. And so my father was in prison 3 times for methamphetamine, and he ended up losing his life violently, but not me. So I was locked up as a kid, but not my son. Like, it stops with me, right? So I was from my father to me, but not to my son. And so breaking those curses, and it's not something that you do on your own. I don't know how many times I've tried to change things on my own, but it never works without the Holy Spirit for some reason. It's kind of weird.
But you're actually asking people who are listening right now, to join you in this field. And I just want them to know, because I want them to be incentivized in some way. You don't want this to just be a terrible, discouraging thing.
No, for sure.
There is a fruit that you'll see from serving and being involved in it. We have got literally 1 minute left. So tell me how people can help you financially.
Okay. Resources are always necessary. And so time, talent, and treasure. And for us, for LifeQuest, we move at the speed of people's generosity. And that's the truth. There's always kids that we could help, but we need the resources to help them.
And, you know, it's interesting. You move at the speed of people's generosity. And I think, at least my experience has been, that people in New Mexico are very generous. Yeah. I just want them to have that hope for others.
Yeah.
God's going to work in through their lives to help others really
sure
turn it around. And you've both seen that.
Yes, yeah, sir. And here's this, you talk about, it is kind of dark sometimes, but there was a lady in our community-based program that I got to baptize at the bottom of the Grand Canyon. And then I also got to officiate her wedding. And so those are fruit, that is a fruit that just sits so beautifully in my heart. And there is fruit, but you got to look for it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. There's manna everywhere.
It's always manna, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, guys, I apologize, but our 30 minutes is up.
Thank you.
Always goes like a rocket ship. I hope that if you're listening right now, you'll consider looking at lifequestusa.org, lifequestusa.org, or call 505-341-9383. Doing amazing things before kids are incarcerated and after, and turning people around. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you.